Okay. I wasn't sure this was recording again. This is side two. I rushed through so many things on the first side that I don't have anything left new to tell you, Duchess. It's kind of routine for me, although my life is anything but routine. This week has been a little bit dull because I haven't gone anywhere in a whole week. A whole week, I haven't gone anywhere. I mean, outside of, I have gone here and there locally, but I haven't made any field trips. And I'm anxiously waiting to see what date I move. And this will be a big step again, because as I mentioned before, I'll have to pack everything. In fact, that's what I should do tonight, because I don't have that many hours during the week to do anything. And I was going to seriously sit down and try and do 2 hours of packing or something, you know, like one Foot Locker, because I think they'll find me permanent quarters, see, and then I'll just have to move once from here. I could have had permanent quarters here at Longbin. I'm probably confusing you, Duchess, but let me try and explain. When you come into Longbin, some people are authorized permanent quarters and some are authorized trailers. Well, permanent quarters are trailers and bungalows. The bungalows are little rooms. They're small rooms, but you have a private bath, and you have a refrigerator, small one, and the rooms are air-conditioned. In fact, you cannot control the air-conditioning. It's automatically centrally controlled, and the rooms are quite cold. Okay, if you're an 11 or more, you authorize a trailer. See, Betty and Jane both live in a trailer. Not the same one, but they share one trailer with somebody else. Each one has a roommate. And, of course, they're air-conditioned, and they're very nice. They're furnished, and it's comfortable. It's very comfortable. Okay, so I'm not authorized a trailer because I don't have a high enough grade, but I would be authorized permanent quarters, which would be one of these bungalow rooms. So when I came here, when I'm I went into the transit billet, is where I am now. And some people stay here permanently because they're not high enough to get other quarters, see. But for me, I went on a list, and I came up on the list, top of this last week, and I got a call on it and said I could have permanent quarters, which would be one of the bungalow rooms. And I didn't move because I knew that I wouldn't be staying here that long, you know, and that would mean moving again. Plus, that would mean taking the room from somebody who would be next on the list. And actually, I wanted to keep the room because even if I went to Canto, I would like to have a room up here because I'll be coming back here every once in a while, and you don't have a place to stay, you know. And it only costs like about $5 a month for a room. But Jane thought it wouldn't be nice to take a room when somebody might be waiting for one since I wasn't going to be here. So I went along with her decision, and I'm still in this crazy transit belt. And in fact, you probably can hear some noises beside my own voice, and that is activities outside, people coming and going, and we have a community bathroom. It's no big thing. It's not too bad, but it certainly isn't like living home. Not by a long shot. Okay. Oh. This was something I meant to tell you the last time I spoke with you. I don't know if I did mention to you. Remember in Korea, there were many young men in Korea that I was very fond of, particularly at Camp Ross. But one of them was Ed Starr, who was then a lieutenant. Well, Duchess, he is here in Vietnam. Not only in Vietnam, he's right here in this compound. And matter of fact, he is the billeting officer. Yeah, I found out purely by accident. He saw my name on a card when I registered here, and he tried to get a hold of me, and somebody left a message. And I couldn't think of Captain Starr. Captain Starr, and of course, Ed Starr came to me, and I thought, it must be him. So sure enough. And he is a real fine person. He went home after his touring career, and he got married. He lives in New Jersey, you know. He comes from, I forgot what city. Inglewood Cliffs? Anyway, he comes from New Jersey. And I was just delighted when I finally got to see him, which was about 10 days ago. In fact, about, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday night, I guess, Thursday night, he took me to dinner. He took me out and had a steak dinner over at his club. There's an officer's club, well, there's a half dozen of them if you know where they are. And he took me with his major, Major Barber, I think his name is. Anyway, he runs the building. So Ed said to me, "Sam, I'll put you in permanent quarters, you know." I mean, I was up on the list anyway, Duchess, because, you know, I want to keep Ed straight. He's pretty honest individual. But he would do me a favor if he could, you know. And so I told him, no, it was all right. I wouldn't take the room. So I thought that was kind of ironic, you know. Here he is building, obviously, for this crazy place, this mess I'm in now. But he knows about it, and he said, there's very little they can do. Of course, they can evict this woman next to me. She's crazy. Actually, she's not. She's a very lonely woman, I think, but she has to be a little more considerate when it's this kind of living, you know, because you can hear everything, Duchess, just everything through these walls. Anyway, that was a very pleasant surprise. In fact, this has happened to me about three times this week. Somebody has stopped me and said, "Weren't you in Korea?" It happened to me 2 weeks ago down in Saigon. E4 was in the parking lot getting in his truck, and he came dashing over to me and said, "Hi." He said, "Don't you remember me from Korea?" I said, "Sure, how are you doing?" I couldn't remember him from a hole in the wall, Duchess, but, you know. And I bumped into a sergeant the other day in the bank, and he said, "Now, hello there." He said, "I haven't seen you since, what did he mention? He mentioned, oh, Camp Ross, yeah." And so we talked for a while, and this happens all the time, you know. And it happens more so with people who have been in this business for 15, 20 years. I've only been in it a few years. So, anyhow, let me see. I have to concentrate. Oh, and this Colonel Hal Persky, he took me over to the, he's taking me to the electronic shop. Well, wind up, he took it for me to get it fixed because we're too many people in the shop. So I don't have time during the week, Duchess, to get to anything. Anything was closed by the time I go off work. But, my tape recorder went, my radio has been broken. I haven't been able to play radio for 2 months, more than that. And so he's trying to get it fixed for me, and he's trying, my little, the other tape recorder, not this one, this one don't work too well either, he's trying to get it fixed. And then my lamp, I had a little lamp, it's a little small one, but it had, it was like magnified direct lighting. I had it in Korea, Duchess, and it didn't work. But over here it started to work, and I dropped it, because I don't have a nail in this wall, I don't have, it's on the floor, you know, next to my bed, and I can't, it's hard to read. I have an overhead light, but I had this perched on the back of the bed, and it fell down and broke. But anyway, he had it fixed. He soldered it. He does anything, you know. I don't have to mention something to him. He's off doing it. It's a pain in the neck. Anyway, he took my tape recorder today, and he also has, as I said, my radio. He can't get a battery. Or a tube, rather. The radio needs a tube. That radio is 100 years old. I've had that for years and years. An old Philco radio. So I don't know when I'll get these things, you know, because I'm sure to be leaving, but I think he's going to make a trip down to see me at Canto. Wherever I go, I'm sure he'll find me, because he doesn't want me to go, you know. He keeps saying, "Oh, no, you shouldn't go, you shouldn't go." Plus, in addition to that, I told him if he really wanted to do something for me, to steal me a Jeep. See, he's an IG inspector. He's a full colonel, you know, and he goes around inspecting all his units. He doesn't work at oil, that is. He works about 2 hours out of the entire day. Excuse me. Anyhow, I think he will. I think he'll steal me a Jeep, and I'll have to fly it down there. He'll have to fly it to Camp Tull, I guess. I won't be able to use it only even around Camp Tull. From Camp Tull to the airfield and to the building I'll be working in, the adjutant building. Looks like an old bombed out thing. Oh, God. Because if I go to South Train or I go to Vinh Long, the areas I'll be covering, you cannot go by road. You must go by air. Okay. This is one of the longest tapes I've ever made. It's a real full 3-inch tape. Either that or I'm not coordinated with my thinking. It's a lot of piddly end-end news, you know. There was something else I was going to tell you. Oh, I had stopped smoking about Let's see. This is October. I don't know, a week or 2 weeks ago, that just, whatever it was. 26? I don't know. Anyhow, yeah, I think it was the 26th, right? Since then, I've had about, 3 or 4 a day. I didn't stop 100%. A couple of days I did. And I haven't gotten up much more than that. Well, I don't have any cigarettes, that's what it is. I had a whole carton, I gave them away. I gave them away, and I do smoke about 3 or 4 a day now. And I usually have to bum them off somebody. But, Betty has supposed to be on a diet, see, all this time. I need to stop smoking. She was on a diet. So she has lost, I think, maybe 5 or 6 pounds, and I have gained them. I really have. I think 2 reasons. One, they're not smoking so much. But the second thing is working at UCV, you know, and I'm sitting a lot. If I'm not out in the field, I'm doing an awful lot of sitting, and I feel that I'm eating. I'm always eating snacks, which is okay, but usually I burn it off, and I eat meals. A lot of times at Bearcat, I didn't eat 3 meals a day. I ate 1 good meal a day, or at least I tried to eat 1 good meal. And when I did, I was always very hungry, you know? And this was good. But here, we rely a lot. I mean, we have more mess halls, and we have a couple of officers' clubs where you can buy food. We didn't have this at Bearcat. So if you didn't eat at the mess hall, you just didn't eat the rest of the night, you know, unless you had some food home. But here you can, like, it's 7 o'clock now in the evening, and I haven't eaten supper. Of course, I came home, and I had some candy, and I had 2 cups of tea, you know. This was all about 2 hours ago, so I shouldn't be that hungry. But every day I bring in a bag of M&Ms, or I bring in some kind of candy or crackers into the office, you know, and I eat the whole thing, and everybody just is amazed at how much I eat during the day. In fact, yesterday I ate half a box of those cube sugars, you know, just like a horse. I just sat there eating them. If you put it in the coffee, and I don't drink it, but just to sit there and eat it plain, it's okay, you know, I don't know. But I think I'm a little anxious, too, about this new assignment. And this hesitating, you know, waiting, when am I going, when are they going to find me a place to live. So between the non-smoking and the new position of sitting, doing, well, I'm busy. I keep busy all day long, and I'm trying to really work on some projects I think are vital in between all the interruptions, you know. But between that and the anticipation, I think I've gained about, I don't know, 5 or 6 pounds. I'm sure I have. In fact, Jane said I look a whole lot better now than I did when I first came here. I think I was a little run down. I'm working probably less hours here, Duchess. I work about 9 hours a day, 9 and a half, 10 hours. About 9 and a half anyway. We start at 7, and we usually get out about 5:30, sometimes a few minutes later. But I manage to eat usually 2 good meals. And I can see I actually have color in my face. My face is a little fuller. So is my stomach. My stomach feels, you know, I feel bloated. It may only be a few pounds, but to me it feels like a lot. But I get about 6 and a half hours sleep a night, which is good. I always went to bed late, you know, 12, 1 o'clock, always. Here I try to go to bed no later than midnight. No later than midnight, because I have to get up early. And I feel good, feel real healthy. In fact, I don't even take my malaria pills, which I should do. But I stopped them because I had so much diarrhea there for a while that I blamed it on the diarrhea pills, on the malaria pills. Diarrhea pills. Anyway, Jane said she had seen a great improvement as far as color and fullness, you know. Well, my face is never full, Duchess. Never, ever. And it's not full now, but it's not gaunt either. And what else? My foot's good. I'm careful with it. I try to keep it at an L angle. And I haven't any problems with it. Oh, what else? Tell you. Must be slipping when I can't think of all the news. I'm kind of, every once in a while you notice I might hesitate. I'm listening at the door here because Jane said she would stop by, or I told her if she didn't, I would stop over her place. We're going, I told you, tomorrow morning we're leaving to fly to Tula. I think that's about a two-hour flight, or an hour or so. I don't know. It's pretty far, even in a fixed wing. But she thought maybe we should wear our new uniforms. I think I told you all about these uniforms. We're testing uniforms, and the staff members, Jane and Betty and Beth and myself, all got a complete uniform. And we're supposed to wear them between now and January as much as possible. And I wore mine Wednesday on my birthday. I wore it. And it's not bad, Duchess, but it has a little jacket to it. And the jacket's a little bit small. I had the whole thing altered, you know, and it still is a little bit tight in the shoulders, but it's not too bad. So I asked Jane what we were wearing. Was it? We have a blouse to it, and we have a white blouse, and we have, it's kind of like a, what did you call it? Like a short, turquoise color, Duchess. We have a skirt and a blouse, turquoise, and then a white blouse, and then a turquoise jacket. We have three different hats. One is a pearl box, and the other one is a tammy that doesn't stay on, and the other one is just like a stewardess hat, like the one we have now. Anyhow, none of them fit my head. And then we have a couple of scarves, a neck scarf and a head scarf. It's a crazy outfit. Anyhow, Jane thought we should wear them tomorrow since we're all flying up to this opening. So I asked her whether we wear the white blouse or the turquoise, and she said, well, I'll see. She's having hers altered, see, and she's going to pick it up today, and she said that she'll see what fits. Whatever fits her best, that's what we'll wear tomorrow. So I told her, let me know, you know, because I don't have a phone here, so she has to stop by. So I guess I'll have to wear a new uniform tomorrow. I can hardly wait. Mine's probably all wrinkled. Oh, dear. Something all the time. I had a letter from Aunt Rose that was very, very nice. She commented that everything was well, and she was well, and still working at the bakery, and the children were getting very big, and she sent a picture showing five of the youngsters, I think, and they all are getting big. They're still lovely-looking children, and they had won about 50% of the medals that were given out for the swimming competition, and she said they just walked away with most of the prizes. I guess they're all pretty good swimmers. She said Mrs. Young was asking for me. I think you remember Mrs. Young. Remember me speaking of her. And Tommy and Renee are well, and Jimmy and Pat are doing fine. They're building a new home somewhere. I don't know. Anyway, they're all in good shape, basically. Somebody had a knee operation, one of the youngsters, and somebody else broke something else, but on the whole, they're all pretty good. I should answer that letter, really. I haven't written a soul. Mother's letter didn't contain a great deal of news. She babysits every Saturday for my brother, and she really enjoys this. She likes being with the grandchildren. I had sent her another $100, and she was very pleased about it. She said she was going to buy a new winter coat and buy a pair of glasses. And that's good. It's very good. I'm very pleased to hear that she isn't, you know, I told her if she puts any of it in the bank at all, I wouldn't send a cent. So, on your last tape, that just, it was, yeah, that's the last one, right. And it was the one George Marmo spoke on. And, tell him I, every once in a while, get to see what the funds are doing. I don't get to read the paper very often. I can't find one, or I don't take the time, or whatever, that just, but once in a while I see it, and, you know, maybe once a month I get to see what the mutual rate is or something, and tell them I'll be anticipating profits, maybe not by the time I go home, but certainly after that. It was good hearing from George. I can't remember the other news on your tape that I would have responded to. Because sometimes this typical doesn't work that I can play this back to hear it. It's crazy, that's it. I'm going to try and get this one fixed after I get one back. Because if I'm without one, boy, you'll never get a tape. I had six music tapes, you know, 7.5-inch reels. that I left at Bearcat, and Bob, the fellow working there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, somehow I only got 5 back. I thought I had 6. Anyway, he taped music album for me, and I got them today, and he never marked them, so I haven't the vaguest idea what's on them, and I can't play them because I have no tape recorder. So, here we have 5 tapes, 4 recorded, and I don't know what's on them. But what I'll do is just pack them, put them in the footlocker, and forget about them. Right? And if there's any music on it, I'll tape some music when I get home. No big thing. Oh, I barely need a piece of luggage, too, Duchess. I need luggage, right? Like I need another hole in my head. But the piece I brought is... I have 2 pieces with me, the large piece and the 2 suitor suitcase. And they're both too heavy when I go on a field trip overnight, you know, like for 1 night or for 2 nights. They're really too heavy. So I bought a lightweight. It's a leader or a lead. I think it's lead. I think it's a lead suitcase. And it's not canvas, but it's similar to that. Maybe vinyl or something. And once I get down to Cantil, if I'm making an overnight visit to South Train or Vin Long or Long Tao or something, I think I'll use that. Because carrying this stuff just breaks my back. Because usually the choppers land out in the middle of no place, you know, or on the runways or something. Then you have a long walk into the... It's not that long, but it is when you're carrying something heavy. Well, believe it or not, I have managed to fill up this tape. Just about. As I said, I think it was an exceptionally long one. But again, here, Duchess, you may have to wait a while for the next tape, depending upon if I can pack this little tape recorder when I go to Cantil. Who knows? Maybe I won't even get there this week, but I'm planning on it. I'm definitely planning on it. And I'll keep you posted. Thank you for remembering my birthday. And tell everyone I said hello. I'm doing very, very well. Nothing too exciting happened.